Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us gathered here. We ask that you illuminate your word and work through this passage and the sermon so that we might fully comprehend your will for our lives. And we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's the parable of the valuable coins. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants to handle his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to their servant's ability, and then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins and said, "Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done. You're a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown and that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers so that when I return, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive much more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they will have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God." Years ago, I have used this sermon in a stewardship campaign. This would be a good way to do it, wouldn't it? I would use this. So some of you have been given 5 coins. Some of you have been given 2 coins. Some of you have been used 1 coins. But you need to give back to me 10%. Or to the church. Don't give it to me. And so I would have then said, if you haven't filled out your estimate of giving card for this coming year, you can do that still. Is that the way I'm supposed to say it, Mike? Mike agrees. That's what you're supposed to say. But that's not really what this is all about. Maybe it's about investments. Maybe the rule of 72 should come into play. Do y'all know about the rule of 72? If you take 72 and you're trying to figure out how long it will take to double your money, if you divide 72 by the interest rate you will earn, it will tell you the number of years that it will take to double that money at whatever is compounded. So if you take 72 and I was going to make 6%, I divide that, it means that I will double my money roughly in 12 years. Is that right, Tim? Tim agrees. That's what happens. So is that what it's about? The guy was given 5 valuable talents. He took it and he doubled it. The rule of 72 must have taken place. Maybe. That's what happened with the 2. Well, maybe that's not it about. Maybe it's about risk and reward. The more I risk, I have the opportunity to possibly gain a great deal more, right? But if I take that risk, I also have the chance of not earning that much. I might break even. I might, God forbid, lose money. Ooh, maybe it's not about risk reward. I don't know. Maybe it's a parable. Because at the beginning of the 25th chapter, we talked about this. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. Today, the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey. Uh-oh. There's going to be great suffering, it says. It talks about suffering, the sun and the moon, and things are going to change, and Jesus is coming back, and sometimes we're tempted to sit back and see what's going to happen. It's kind of like one of those series we watch on TV, and we're really watching it every chance we get. We watch 4 or 5 episodes in one sitting. Y'all know those. We're waiting to see what's going to happen. But that's not what we're supposed to do, is it? Not according to the parable of the bridesmaids. You see, we're supposed to be purchasing more oil. We're supposed to be filling our lamps with oil. We're supposed to be feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty. We're supposed to be reaching out to other people. We're supposed to be caring. We're supposed to be investing ourselves into people who do not know Jesus. Each of us ends up understanding God and how we respond to God by the God that we know. So the question really becomes, is our God a God who punishes his children by withholding food and fun? When I was a kid, I was bad enough. They didn't withhold food, but they certainly withheld fun from me. What do they withhold from you? Is your God like an accountant with a legal pad, a 2 or 3 column pad where he says, oh, that's a discretion. Oh, another discretion. Oh, another. Oh, there was a sin for sure. That's a little worse. Is your God that kind of God who keeps up with everything and certifiable? Or is your God like the God who sits at the window and looks out down the road a long way, looking for his wayward child to come home? Or is your God a God who, with his arms wide open, issuing and loving and mercy, kindness, saying, come to me? Who is your God? Because ever how we perceive God and our perception of God is how we will respond to what God calls us to do and to be. You see, the interesting thing, we like to think we're the first two servants, don't we? Don't you? I really want to be the servant that got the 5 talents. Because in the end, I end up with 11 talents, right? I got my 5 that he gave me, I got the 5 that I earned, and then I got the poor one guy, the guy that only got 1, I got his. That's the guy I want to be. Isn't that who you want to be? Shake your head. Come on. Give me an amen. That's who we want to be. And if we can't be that person, we really want to be the person who got the 2 talents, right? It's the same thing with the parable of the vineyard, where the owner of the vineyard goes to town to find people to work in the vineyard. All of us think we're the workers who got there at 6 o'clock in the morning, even though you don't wake up till 10. You see, we want to be there all day. I want everybody to think we've been there all day, even though we didn't work in the vineyard and we have pushed away from the owner of the vineyard and denied the owner of the vineyard all our lives. He's given us opportunities to work in the vineyard, to enjoy the fruit of the vineyard, and yet we have not, and yet we won't. To think we went there at 6 o'clock, and we want everybody else to think we've been there since 6 o'clock. We want to think that the owner of the vineyard didn't know what the value of the, or the abilities of the people, but that's not the case. It says he gave the talents based on their abilities. Well, I'll tell you, this parable is not about the first two guys, and it's really not about the third guy, and it's not about the master. It's the relationship between the master and the third guy and all that's going on. Because you see, we really wouldn't know anything about the third guy if the master didn't think he was worthless. And we really wouldn't know anything about the master except what the third guy said. Because he said he was hard. He did things, he sowed, he reaped where he didn't sow, right? And so if he was that bad, we would have a bad understanding of the master, wouldn't we? But it's really kind of interesting to me that in that day, we're actually talking about money. This parable starts with an unbelievable, extravagant gift from the master. A talent in that day was the equivalent of 15 years' salary for a day laborer. So if the one with the least ability got 15 years' worth of salary, and the one who was better got 30 years of salary for a day laborer, and the first one ended up getting 5 talents with 75 years of salary for a day laborer, those gifts were unbelievably extravagant, weren't they? It's not just talents. This master is unbelievably extravagant in his gifts to these people. Have you ever had somebody give you something and attach strings to it? That kind of takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it? My parents would do this to me. If you pull that D up to a B, you can do this then. I never got the then part, I'll just be honest with you. I tried a little bit, but it just really didn't matter, you know. I'm going to be me. Lord, forgive me for being me. But we do that. But this master, not only does he give these gifts, but he minimizes himself in the equation because he doesn't control. He goes away and gives those three servants the ability to use those gifts, those talents, to do and to make better the lives of all kinds of people. And the first one and the second one did, and the third one told a lie. Because he was afraid, because he knew the guy was hard, right? Because he reaped where he didn't sow. He was hard, but if he was really fearful, he would have done something. He didn't do anything. He buried it. And so the question for us comes in this. God has given us an unbelievable gift in our salvation. Hasn't he? He's given to us a relationship that we'll never be alone. No matter what we go through, God is with us. He's given us a community of faith where you can be loved and accepted. You can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day. We have something that is priceless as followers of Jesus Christ. It's 5 talents. It's 2 talents. And God is counting on us to do something with the talents, to share those talents with people so that they can have those talents as well. And what will Jesus find when he comes back? The joy in the journey is sharing the things we have. Amen. Giving water, a cold drink of water to a person who's thirsty is an unbelievable gift. Giving food to someone who is hungry is an unbelievable gift. Visiting with someone who is lonely is an unbelievable gift. We can be the presence of Christ for them. And it creates a joy that's unbelievable. To understand that in a moment of kindness to someone else, of sharing a gift that God has already given you with someone else, it can bring a joy to your soul that you can't get anywhere else. Amen? It truly is when we do the things that Christ has told us to do, and we actually take the time to do them, we can be blessed immeasurably. Forget the rule of 72. It beats that. Words of affirmation and words of comfort and words of prayer in the life of a human being who is in need is priceless. And we're called to do that. And what will Jesus find us doing when he comes? You're hoping, my prayer is that he will see us doing what he's called us to do and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little, have much. I want more. What about you? Do you want more? Do you want more Jesus to share with people who have less of Jesus or don't have him at all? I do. I hope you do too. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm not sure how many talents you gave me, but I know it was a lot. And the way I look at our congregation and the members of this church, I don't know what you gave each of them, but it was a lot. And you gave it to us to share. Lord, may we be as generous with the world as you were generous with us. And in the process of sharing, may the world be changed. And in changing the world, may we be changed too. May this be true in your body, not just here, but everywhere. And in the name of Christ we pray, amen.